Yeah. Okay. Paul Sarah's segment's got to wait. So this is part of, I want to be careful because obviously my mind's in other places and I don't want to say something that's too off brand here. This is what my annoyance is with society. So this morning, Terrion Arnold, you know, won his hearing that he did not have to stay in jail and he's out on bond, $1 million.
Right.
They're not going to do an ankle monitor because he's an NFL player, like the paparazzi monitor. I thought it was a brilliant line by the judge.
It was.
But that has no bearing on the case. And I was talking with Evan, and you have fans like victory lapping it. Like, he could show up to camp, and I'm like, do these people just not have any understanding of how planet Earth works?
No. It's very tribalism. It's us versus the world.
Well, cutscene, the Lions have released Terrion Arnold. So I guess it's going to be tough for him to show up to camp. Mm-hmm. He's not employed by the team. I just want to remind you of something. The feds convict at like a 98% rate. They don't diddle around. They don't throw Hail Marys. They don't throw YOLO balls. This isn't Judge Judy where Bob is suing Janice for a shingle and a shoe. They develop a case and they bring these charges. He is facing up to life in prison. So I never understood the connection that was being made today, but now he's been released.
Because, Mike, every time something happens to everybody's favorite athlete, it's free fill in the blank. Oh, he's getting railroaded. No, these are some serious charges. This isn't he got pulled over for speeding. This isn't something ridiculous. This is something where, yeah, life is life. A life sentence is being attached to it. Potentially, this is kidnapping and all types of things. And yeah, I mean, I do like the line that the judge says, like, I don't have to give you a monitor. They're going to let me know if you're late for practice. It'll be all over ESPN. The Lions are finally getting ahead of this. I think they regret saying what they, Dan, at least Dan Campbell regrets. We talked to Terrion and, you know, so long as he's up front with us, you know, he's our guy type of thing. And now, yeah, you're going to have to release him because there's no way he could show up to practice and not have everybody ask him about this, ask the coaching staff about this. This is the Lions doing something smart. He could not be on this team.
There's no way.
No.
And again, before you get mad or yell or, well, innocent until proven guilty, listen, you're right, in a court of law. The Detroit Lions are not a court of law. The Detroit Lions are not going to have a player facing life in prison practicing. Every player, as Rico just said, will have to answer excruciatingly ridiculous questions. Right. It was never going to happen. Plus, let's be very clear. They already look kind of silly based on what Dan Campbell said a few months ago. We played the audio last week.
Yeah.
Would you really double down on that?
You can't double down on that. That's why this was, I was wondering, I thought the Lions would simply tell him, don't show up to camp, handle your business, praying to God that the NFL would put him on the exemption list so they wouldn't even have to do this move and they could just say, hey, Terrion, we believe in you, but, you know, the mean old guys at the NFL said you can't show up here. As the Lions being responsible, saying, yeah, you can't be here. Sorry.
You're no longer part of this. Right move for the organization. Especially, too, and I know this isn't as important to fans, some fans, but if an organization is going to preach about having high character guys, that's a phrase you always hear out of Rotunda Drive. Hey, bottom line, you couldn't possibly have this guy here, period. Not to mention the fact there is a next to 0% shot that his football career is not at a minimum deeply impacted. That's before we get to the NFL's procedures and being on the exempt list and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty clear the feds are not going to bring this cavalry of charges and be wrong on all of them. That's just data. Mm-hmm. So I actually think the Lions did the right thing. And look, you're not rooting against a 23-year-old. Maybe he can beat the rap on a reduced level. Maybe someday he can play ball again. He ain't lining up for you this year. And I'm not going to turn the most important Lions training camp in the last few years, I'm not turning that into a circus. Because here's the other news. Now, if you think, here, If I'm overstepping, say it. Rico Beard.
I thought you were going to hearken.
I don't need to hearken. Okay. I want you to tell me, Michael, you're out of order.
Okay. Rico. Please be out of order. Please be out of order.
Okay. I might be. They don't make the playoffs this year. You're talking regime change. Didn't say you're doing it. You're talking.
Okay. You're thinking. Okay. I was about to say,
Is allowed to go 3 years without winning a playoff game and 2 years straight without missing the playoffs?
Because there's only so many times you could say, you know, we were 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl.
Correct.
That was a while ago, sir.
Correct. And again, for Brad Holmes, it's the same thing.
See, I think for Brad, the seat would be even hotter because of you would now look at that, was the 2024 draft and
completely useless.
You might as well just lit that thing on fire on stage right here in Detroit in front of that record 750,000 people. You would have got more entertainment out of watching all your draft picks.
It comes down to rake straw now. But we can just transition right into this. That's fine. I didn't plan on talking Terrion Arnold unless this happened. I think it's the right move for the franchise. I think the Detroit Lions have come so far. They're not a punchline. They're not desperate. Have a standard, and this is the standard. Like, we're not going to turn this into a circus, and we're not going to stand here blindly with a guy that is likely going to spend a good number of years in prison. They do not owe that to the player.
No.
The court of law owes the player a fair trial. The Detroit Lions do not owe the player their undying support.
And I think it's the severity of the penalty is why you got to separate. Like, there are things that, okay, our player screwed up. And you know what? It happens, and he's going to be suspended for a little bit. You stay at home. You stay away from the locker room. Handle this. Figure this out. Come up with some type of a deal with the attorney. This is one, when you start reading it, and you're saying to yourself, if this is even have 1 ounce of being true, dear God, who did we draft?
How is this their offseason? How is this their offseason when this could happen where you could just cut him on a whim because things go bad in the trial? You have no corners. Keith Abney, the fifth round pick's your guy you're going to turn to. Rake Straw, a guy who hasn't played in 2 years.
Paul, do you you first, me second.
Paul, they had to. You can't bring him into camp.
No. He's asking, then what were you doing offseason?
Yeah, if you could just cut him on a whim because this thing could go south on you, why weren't you, prepared for this in any way?
No, because
I'm assuming that Brad was in the bathroom at the Coney Island and he didn't see what was happening this year.
Well, then honestly, that's why if this year goes poorly, we should be talking about job security for both the coach and the GM. Look, you replaced Amik Robertson with Roger McCreary. Fine.
Push.
You had no backup plan. This is where they either were being willfully ignorant or they got completely snookered by the player. Dan Campbell's audio, and Paul, you're doing us a solid because with everything going on and David not being here after the 2 p.m., there's a piece of Dan Campbell audio from March 30th that to me, it just ages worse and worse and worse. Essentially, I think we're good. There's nothing to this. He wasn't involved. I believe the kid.
Right.
And I'm going, the day these things got reported in February, if two doorknobs like me and Rico could tell you, guys, and by the way, couple of phone calls, anyone I talk to in law enforcement, anyone I talk to who covers the league, not a single person shared Dan Campbell's opinion that he would be okay. The answers I was given from the beginning, he's in serious trouble. He's going away for a long time. So how could the Lions not have that? That is where Paul has a point. And we had a Rico, they didn't address it.
They didn't.
You know what else they didn't
do?
They didn't address the safety position, considering Kirby Joseph may never play again. And Brian Branch blew his Achilles.
You know, but they did have enough to let you know, hey, we got to rush in. We got to edge rusher. So
I'm not going to conflate the two. I'm happy they drafted
the fact
an edge.
Okay, so you did that, but you couldn't see what we all saw. And I remember, they'll be okay. They'll be fine. And now I can hearken back. Yeah, last summer. Hey, guys, this offensive line ain't good. They'll be fine. It'll work out. They're NFL players. Trust the system, until it didn't. And now I look at this secondary and I look at everybody in the North. Good luck with that. I'm not even going to go with Justin Jefferson. Good luck with covering the Bears receivers. Good luck with the Packers.
Here's what let me just do this quickly. I want to back you away from the ledge.
Okay.
Maybe there's a corresponding move, as there are a couple interesting veteran free agent corners that they could bring in that I'm not a fan of Terrion Arnold. I just don't think he's any good. They wouldn't be worse than Arnold. If they go out and they add a depth piece, whether it's a Rasul Douglas or otherwise, I can get by. But the problem is, teams like the Rams go, look, we have a problem in the secondary. Cutscene. They traded for an all-pro and a Pro Bowl.
Let's go raid the, the Chiefs. Let's just take
care. And in the same offseason got Myles Garrett.
Whereas you are relying on Rakestraw to stay healthy.
I'm terrified of that.
You're going to go out and just pick up a corner and spin the wheel as safety?
They are one injury at corner from being DEFCON 1.
And I liked the Dabney pick. He fell to them in the fifth round. I thought he'd be drafted higher. But it's not fair to ask a fifth round pick to like save your franchise in the secondary.
No, decidedly not. That's like them asking Mahogany, a sixth round pick, to be a Pro Bowl guard.
Terrion Arnold. Lions decide to move on, cut him yesterday. I mean, I guess one of the first questions is, did they cut him too soon?
No. I don't think so. And because here's what probably was going to happen. He was going to get on the commissioner's exempt list so that it would remove the decision from the Lions. Do we play him? Do we not play him? No, he's going to be on there. But when you're on that list, you continue to be paid. You continue to be paid by the franchise and you count against the cap unless you're cut. And so they saved some cap space. They decided that this wasn't a road they wanted to go down. And I don't have any issue with them cutting him when they did. They had a chance on, was it Thursday's hearing? Thursday or Friday of last week, mm-hmm. And then obviously Monday to hear more of the facts of the case as they were presented. And not everything was presented, but enough to where I think they probably looked at and said, you know what? Who knows how it ultimately turns out? It's up to the lawyers and the judge and the jury at this point. But they probably looked at it as, well, we're not going to have him for this year. I don't know when the trial would start. You know, you don't want to have a guy and then all of a sudden mid-season he's wrapped up in a trial. And then some of the facts may be different from what he had told the Lions.
Yeah, and scrolling social media and our fellow legal scholars, I say that sarcastically, people who are watching the trial made it sound like, well, they don't have anything hard evidence against this guy.
Right.
But if, to your point, it just wasn't what the Lions had previously heard and they were uncomfortable with the uncertainty of where this was headed. Yeah. Also, let's throw in the fact that he's just not good. Like, there are players that get away with more if they're elite corners. He was far from an elite cover corner. He was the 97th graded corner on PFF a year ago. At some point, you go, it's just not worth the headache. We got to have some certainty. We're just going to plan to not have him and actively put money and resources and decisions towards addressing it moving forward.
I am curious. The same question I asked last week, knowing that this was a possibility, and even if they didn't cut him, did they do enough in his absence?
No, but they can now, I guess, is the way of looking at it.
Yes, they can now because they have a roster spot that added up. They got some, you know, not a lot of, he was on a rookie contract, so it wasn't going to be a huge number against the cap.
Could we say the Lions were guilty of being naive here? Like, he's going to figure it out on the field, and this off-the-field thing isn't as bad as it looks. A little naive in that it was going to work out for Terrion Arnold?
I don't want to go that far because I don't know what type of investigation they did. Obviously, a lot of this has to do with what from the facts that we have heard from the two hearings is, you know, did he text? Did he not text? Was he on FaceTime? Was he not? A lot of it, if you listened to it yesterday, was, you know, well, this person said they heard his voice on this. Well, there's a lot of hearsay in there, but you can get cell phone records and find out, first of all, where a person was And you can also then find out, okay, well, who were you calling? Who, you know, if there's no text message, were you on the phone? Were you on FaceTime?
I guess what I don't know is how quickly this trial is going to happen. Like, is there a world where this guy is...
Oh, it won't be until after the first of the year.
Okay.
I would be shocked because no judge, and they don't necessarily want to start a trial in December with the holidays. Mm. And so it most likely, and this I'm getting this from my wife who's been in trials and she's, you know, trained as a lawyer. She said it won't be until after the first. She would be shocked if it happened anytime in 2026.
The timeline of this kind of matches up with the whole Kamara thing a few years ago in Vegas where, you know, it just was going to linger into the whole season.
Right.
And that's why the Lions made this swift decision.
But the difference there is Kamara played. They kept him on the roster. He was a much better football player. I mean, that's part of this.
It is part of this. And I do believe if Arnold was a borderline all-pro, it might play out differently. But I do think also that the team's mantra this year is strictly business.
Mm. And then this would be a huge distraction.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, could you imagine? I know they said he doesn't have a tether, but you got a corner out there with a tether lining up across from Justin Jefferson. Yeah, you just don't need that.
No.
As I would say, the jokes write themselves. By the way, just one note that I thought of the name and haven't heard anybody else say it, but Cam Sutton.
Yeah.
I feel like they ran with the same thing with Cam Sutton, and I do feel like that there was less on Sutton, and they cut him faster than with Arnold. And to the point where Sutton then played for another NFL team shortly thereafter.
Yeah, but in the Lions at that time too, like there was a search for Cam Sutton. Like no one knew where he was.
Couldn't find him.
Yeah, and so I mean I think that probably played a part of their decision to release him when they did. And it's also the nature of the charges that Tyrion Arnold is facing.
The thing that happened yesterday was the judge made him eligible to play.
Yes.
If he was confined to jail still, the Lions probably would have had to keep him on that non-exempt, whatever, one of those things that they have labels and stuff, and not probably been able to do this as easily.
Oh, I think they still would have. I think that would have actually been easier because he would have been, like I said, he would have been on the commissioner's exempt list. They would have still had to pay him for sitting in a jail cell, and it would have counted against the cap. They certainly would have cut him at that point. If he's unavailable, especially for the fact that he hasn't really contributed any meaningful snaps, he's been on the field, but the production hasn't been there.
See, I go back to what I said last week when this came out. I don't think it's a very big deal because I don't think he was a good football player. I don't think he was an average football player.
Here's why it's a big deal, and it's not because he was an all-pro. They were still holding out hope he would hit what they drafted him to be.
Or
that's
close
why
to
he
it.
Was here, yeah. Right? That they thought there was still more talent to mine out of him. That they were set to make him a starter in a secondary that has big questions. That's why it matters. Not that he was prime Darrell Revis. It's not like, you know, he's Patrick Surtain's kid. Like,
well, they're going to do that, though, because they're going to play the long patient game. And they're going to have a longer and tougher time admitting they made a bomb of a pick with that pick versus me, who I had concluded that this guy was a bust last season before any of this came out.
So let me phrase it this way then. Is it a good thing? Not that what he did, but that the Lions can move on without thinking, well, we have to stay committed to this former first round pick. This gives them the out that they were unwilling to take with a player who had stalled out.
Yeah, okay. It can be viewed as that's the silver lining,
right?
I guess is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But if that's the silver lining, and they had their doubts, and they didn't think he was going to actually get better, but they were just hoping, then where's the boost in the roster? Where's the boost in the talent that we need more? Are they counting on Ennis Rakestraw to be healthy and be the corner that was described to us?
Here's my thing. I believe this is irrelevant to the Lions potentially reaching the Super Bowl.
Right.
I do. Because I believe they can find somebody on the street to add depth that's just as good.
Well, then what I'm saying to you is they felt like they had that CB2 spot in Tyrion Arnold. You disagree with that when he was here So now this gives them a chance to address it because they weren't going to otherwise. That's what I'm saying with
right.
Now they have a chance to upgrade a position that they were unwilling to move off of because of the draft capital and because of the hope in the young man. Now they can chart a new course forward. And we could talk Denzel Ward if you'd like. I know his name came up last week. It could also just be a veteran corner that's available in free agency that they bring in because they addressed losing a Meek. They did not address the outside corner two with somebody. Now they can.
You also go to, I mean, maybe they thought, well, we can get some special teams out of him and he can give Rocky Sin a breather and Ennis Rakestraw a breather. Yeah. And so maybe they weren't necessarily, I don't necessarily want to use the term naive in what they were expecting to get out of him.
Couple texts on this Lions corner situation. Terrion Arnold released. They probably cut Arnold because he lied to them in the first place. Watch some of the trial. Was clearly involved. However, they didn't have hard evidence, so my guess is he'll be found guilty of a lesser charge, but not the major charges. I don't agree with the comment saying he wasn't. This isn't a big deal because he wasn't very good. I've heard it elsewhere, and I agree he's not very good, but the fact of the matter is he was scheduled to be a starter. That means the guys behind him are even worse. This is a big yikes, Nick, in Clarkston.
I don't necessarily know that he was scheduled to be a starter. I mean, Rocky Sin was taking all the reps when they've had practices this offseason.
Well, he was hurt.
Right. But it doesn't mean that he was going to come back as the starter.
He was penciled in as a starter because of where he was drafted.
Not because of his production. Yeah, I gave you the number. He's the 97th corner on PFF, and we all watched him. He had more pass interference calls than pass breakups.
Right. I would argue Rocky Sin is actually a better player or an equal.
Right. And I don't know if they view him as better than some of these guys that are available, like Marshawn Lattimore, kind of long in the tooth. Does he have anything left? Trayvon Diggs has had some injury concerns. Texter says that they would pursue Trayvon Diggs. We need playmakers. Takeaways, get the ball, give it back to your offense.
Yeah.
Is there a guy that makes sense to you, John? Is it swing big for a trade, or is it take one of these veteran corners that are unsigned? Or do nothing?
No, I think they do something. And I don't know. Trayvon Diggs is, like we were talking at the break, a boom or bust. 2021 had an unbelievable season with Dallas. Led the NFL interceptions. He was all pro. And since then, he's kind of fallen off. I know he's had some injuries. And the question is would he be worth a phone call to just bring in, work out, and see if he's healthy and see if his personality matches what they're looking for in the secondary?
Because there would be a thought, hey, if my defense isn't going to be top 10, but I can get takeaways with this offense, that's a formula that can win you a couple extra football games.
I am curious, though. I mean, Mike Hilton is a guy a little longer in the tooth. That they could look at and say, you know, could we get, if we're looking for somebody to give Rocky Sin a breather, who's going to be best suited to do that? And it might be, I don't want it to be, I mean, I want it to be, but I don't want to hang my hat on it. It might be Ennis Rakestraw.
In the perfect world, yes, the young player you drafted that hasn't really had a chance because of injuries.
Is the question, is it just been really bad luck for him over the first 2 years, or is he just injury prone and can't stay healthy and won't stay healthy?
But you are saying you're not counting on it. But we also
don't know what it looks like when he is on the field.
But you're saying still bring someone in because you don't want to be beholden and count on it. But the best case scenario would be that this guy shows up to camp
healthy and the guy that they drafted in the second round.
A la Cabrera, best shape of his life. And
yes.
But actually best shape of his life and plays well.
All right, I got to own another L. And that is, the answer was no. Question was, will Terrion Arnold ever be worth it for the Lions? I thought there was a chance that this guy could turn it around, off to a bit of a rough start. You know, he got in his own way, obviously. But look, in the end, it was pretty much a wasted draft pick. Didn't do enough to help him win and, you know, didn't really get a chance to see it come to fruition. You know, they took I don't know if they'd even say they took a chance. It wasn't like it was a stunner when they took Terrion Arnold in the first round. But Scott, He's not going to be a useful player here in Detroit. And that just about, I shouldn't completely wrap up, but that was their best resource in a draft that looks like it is going to give them very little. There's still a chance. And is Rakestraw still around? Isn't the Truth still around? Vaki, he's still around.
Yeah, he's
still Mahogany there. Might be a starter, but pretty bad draft.
Well, it's the position that the Lions have never been able to get right when it comes to drafting corners, and particularly when they use third-round picks or higher to take a corner. I went back and looked at drafts all the way back to like the mid-90s. It's remarkable how many drafts they went without even taking a corner. And I think that was a big fault of teams in the late 90s and in the 2000s is that, you know, it's a position that I keep saying, it's a position of attrition. And they didn't even address it in the draft. And then when they did, unfortunately, it didn't work out. Whether it was, you know, Terry Farrell and Bryant Westbrook, guys that had injury issues or guys just not good enough. You had Jeffrey Okuda, who clearly just wasn't good enough. And now you've got Rakestraw and Arnold. Jury is still out on Rakestraw, but he's hardly played in two full years with this team, and now Arnold's a washout. It's really amazing that it's an Achilles heel for the organization. It's not just maybe a Brad Holmes thing. It's just an organizational thing. They just haven't had that guy that they've drafted to be a corner early in the rounds that worked out. They've hit on some guys later in drafts, and let's hope that happens with this most recent one with Keith Abney, because he's got a chance.
Tease Tabor.
Right. Tease Tabor never even played. Hardly played.
Darius Slay, is that the best one they took in that time?
Yeah. Darius Slay is, that's safe to say. I forget what round he was taken in.
He was a second round pick.
Second round pick. So he'd be like the exception.
Yeah, but I mean, it's overwhelming data that they haven't gotten this thing right.
Yeah.
And it sucks. It's an incredibly important position on the football field. And the Lions?
So now look where they're at right now with no Terry and Arnold because they just waived them. Mm-hmm. Brian Branch recovering from an Achilles. Don't know when he's going to come back. You've got Kirby Joseph.
Well, these are all secondary, not corner. But yeah,
I'm just talking about the whole secondary in general. Then you've got Kirby Joseph. You don't know what his situation is really because it's very vague with what they say about his knee and if it's able to hold up or not. That's three starters in your secondary. So basically you have DJ Reed, you know, and you know, maybe your slot corner is okay, that's another starter that you have, but now you got all backups that have to replace these starting safeties. And now a guy who's gonna be a backup that's gonna have to replace Terry and Arnold, who was penciled in to be your starting corner. I think the Lions have to seriously look at free agents because there's still some free agent corners out there. They have got to bring guys in and kick the tires on. It may not be to their liking, but Trayvon Diggs, Rasul Douglas, these are players that are still free agents out there at the corner position that might be able to give you something. Buffalo's got I forget who the corners who played at Buffalo last year, but there's four or five options, I guess, in free agency. They're going to have to kick some tires or they're going to have to swing a trade and acquire somebody's corner because I don't think they have enough.
Did you see Nick Saban's letter that he wrote, the character?
I didn't see. I saw that he wrote a letter based to be a character witness, if you will.
Okay. I'm going to read it, some of it. I write this letter because of the exceptional character I witnessed in Terrion Arnold over more than 6 years I've known him. Over the years, I've welcomed Terrion into my home and around my family. He has consistently treated my family and my staff with respect, humility, and kindness. And all the time I've known him, he never once gave me cause to question his conduct, his integrity, or respect for others. I don't ever recall him being involved in any behavior that would be described as aggressive or irresponsible. Based on my experiences with Terrion, I remain committed to supporting him. While I'm not overly familiar with or educated on the charges he is facing, I understand the seriousness of his situation before the court. I respectfully ask the court to take into account my experience with Terrion, his character, his history, and his positive impact he had on our program. It's incredible how quickly a decision or a series of decisions in one night can F it all up. And this isn't anything new. People make life-altering bad decisions all the time. This is not a person that you and I could say we were friends with, or probably most in our audience, but you felt like you knew him a little bit. He had a fun-loving presence on social media.
Yeah.
He was a player that, regardless of, you know, whether you thought he was going to be a good player or not, it was in all our best interest that he lived up to any expectation or skill set that he had. And, you know, this will be played out in court. But for it to get this far, he's at the very least guilty of associating with the wrong people. And in the best defense, I had nothing to do with it. It was the people around me. But it's a sad story. Now, prosecutors in Florida, since the Lions released him, Dave Burkett reporting today, the prosecutors in Florida filed another motion seeking to have Terrion Arnold wear an ankle monitoring device. Now that he's been released by the Lions, there's a hearing Monday at 9:30. I mean, he may get the tether. The Birch Kid said, as it stands, the Lions will incur dead cap charges of $6.7 million and $4.6 million in the next 2 years. More than it would have cost to keep him. Now, they can appeal to the league about if he broke the character clause or brought embarrassment to the organization.
I think there's a way that...
And that's probably something that they will do. But
probably taking a gamble on it for next year at the very least. I don't know if any of that gets figured out this year. But because we don't know when this case is going to go to trial.
It just is... You know, that Saban letter, I mean, Nick Saban's a pretty credible person in the world of athletics. A pretty powerful person to send that letter with that kind of praise in. And somebody who I think would say no if he didn't believe it.
Well, it's his experiences with the player, right? His experiences with Terrion Arnold.
Yep.
And he's just relaying what he saw. Assume he's truthful about it.
Yep.
Yeah, but this goes back to what you said, Doug, but one moment, momentarily lapse in judgment, decision leads to another bad decision, and now you're, whatever Nick Saban saw, that character, you know, it's probably still Terrion Arnold there, but he made a decision possibly, allegedly, that might cost him not just his football career, but his freedom. And this is just a terrible way for his Lions career to come to an end because he's not going to be a Detroit Lion ever again. Now, I don't know if he's going to be in the NFL again. Obviously, he's got to go through this court case. But when he got indicted, I brought up to you guys, it's like, do you think the Lions will release him? Because you don't need a court of law to be found guilty and a court of law to get released by an NFL team. And they've done it before. They did it with Cam Sutton before his trial played out. And Cam Sutton came back and played football, by the way. But Terrion Arnold, these are serious charges. And everyone says, like, well, did the Lions investigate? Did they do this? You know who did? Law enforcement. And they found it enough to put charges on him.
You think about that the Lions would rather pay more to let him go than to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They were like, forget it. We'd rather just wash our hands of this whole situation and move on. With the Birchies reporting, more expensive to cut him.
Well, they don't want to have to deal with the questions that's going to come along with. As long as he's still on the roster, people will still ask. If he's not on the roster,
100%.
You don't ask anymore. And let's just be truthful here. If he was a much, much better player, he'd have a better chance of still being on the roster, but he just hasn't performed anyway, so it's just easier to cut ties completely and not deal with it and pay the extra money if they have to.
Wow. Just an amazing turn of events. And... You know, I guess still let this case play out, but not trending in the right way because you just like when we were going through yesterday, how the Pistons probably knew more about the Malik Beasley story all along. I'm going to guess the Lions know more than what's been out there. I'm going to guess the Lions have more information at their disposal.
They would have to. Yeah. They're going to follow it a heck of a lot more closely. They have access to Terrion Arnold himself,
right?
Let alone his, you know, attorney or his agent or whatever, anybody else that knows stuff. And they've got, I'm sure, their own security people that are, you know, keeping in touch with the authorities in Florida to find out what's going on.